Six Eyes Radio with another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 in the Word of the King. The Authorized Version 1611, the King James Bible declares, "Who is as the wise man who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And verses 11 to 13, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged. Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, where the word of a king is, there is power, and he may say unto him, what doest thou? On this edition of the Word of the King, we're going to have Brother John McTernan joining us again here a little later in the program. By the grace of God, we're going to be getting into a little bit more in the way of current events, Bible prophecy, and we're going to be looking especially at Babylon and what the scriptures teach concerning Babylon. And on that note, if you would open up your Bible a while to Revelation chapter 18, and if you would, if you open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 18, maybe put a mark, hold your finger in Jeremiah chapter 51. Because ultimately we're going to listen to a couple of recordings here on the start here, on the beginning here, the outgoing here, this broadcast. We're going to listen to a couple recordings. But let me first of all remind you, dear listener, to check out our website at www.holinessbiblesfortheblind. That's www.holiness, H-O-L, Y as in year, N-E-S-S, Bibles, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. And as you go there, you'll see the sowers of seed there, along with the ministry and everything else with Ken and Ruth Wolfgang I am connected with there. And you'll also see a PayPal account there to which you can make any financial donations as the Spirit leads. And, of course, Kenny will remind you of that and give you more specifics in terms of how you can also give to Six Eyes Radio in connection with this broadcast as well later on. And I would also encourage you to check out www.thecommonsenseshow.com. That's www.thecommonsenseshow.com. It's the website of Dave Hodges. And again, if you would do a search, okay, what you would do is you would go to www.yahoo.com, and then put, once Yahoo comes up, you can also put in the Dave Hodges Common Sense Show, or Dave Hodges The Common Sense Show, and then click on search, and then it'll pull it up. And then also there's, and his broadcast, American Vindicta. That's Doug Thornton, Thornton. American Vindicta, V as in Victor, I, N, D as in Daniel, I, C as in Cat, T as in Tom, A, American Vindicta. I would also encourage you to check Doug Thornton's broadcast, American Vindicta, out. If you just do, again, go to yahoo.com and put that in the search, Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. Click on search. You'll see a number of links come up, including his radio archives, an archive of his broadcast at gsradio.net. Then there's also the website of Mike Adams, www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And then there's the website of Brother John McTernan, as again, he'll be on the program a little bit later, www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. And finally, there's the website also of Brother Scott Johnson, Dr. Scott Johnson, www.contendingfortruth.com. That's www.contendingfortruth.com. And again, if you have any questions or comments concerning anything you hear on the Word of the King, you may feel free to email those questions and those comments to me at the Word of the King. That's the Word of the King, A as in Adam, V as in Victor, 1611 at hotmail.com. The Word of the King, AV 1611 at hotmail.com. And now, let me open us up in a word of prayer. And after I get done with this word of prayer, Brother Kenny is going to put on the first of two introductory recordings we're going to listen to here on the Word of the King. But let me now lead us in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do ask you, dear God, now, Lord, to guide and direct my every word, Lord God, for your honor, for your glory, dear God, here on this edition of the Word of the King. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Help me in the handling of your words, Lord God, to handle them, dear God. Holy fear of you, Lord God, this privilege, lightly, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear God, for every soul listening that will listen to this broadcast live as it's posted, the website, the apps. Lord God, that you would, Lord, minister to hearts, dear God, by the power and the demonstration of your spirit, dear God, through all that is said and all that is done, through the power, the sword of your spirit, that word of you, the living God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And even as faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of you, the living God, I pray for you to take your words, dear God, and to work the faith of Jesus Christ in the hearts of souls listening, dear God, who have yet to have the faith of Jesus Christ and his righteousness imputed to them by grace through faith, that not of themselves. And again, dear God, I want to thank you for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, along with all who believe on his name. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray and give thanks through me by way of your spirit to all the more, along with Brother John, reprove, expose, rebuke the unfruitful works of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Okay, Brother Kenny, if you would roll the first recording, please.
Amen. We'll have that momentarily.
It's going to be really difficult for me not to laugh my entire way through this presentation. And it's funny that we have to go to the consummate communist for some accurate assessment of Joe Biden's presidency and his state of mind. Oh, my, my, my. This is just too good to be true. And oh, you ever been in a situation where you accuse someone of something and they deny it in front of the authorities, and then later they just admit it? Yeah, and this is kind of one of those moments. So we're going to talk about when Obama visited Georgia and was campaigning for Warnock. Tells you what he's like. This is just too good. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, if you are not a member of The Common Sense Show, if you're not subscribed, you should do so. Join a group of nearly 200,000 Americans that have had enough, and we're seeking to get our country back. So join us in that endeavor. And let me tell you, I think the stakes are going to go up here pretty soon, really soon. We are brought to you by Ageless Multicollagen, one of our most popular products. And it helps you have that thick skin that just doesn't wrinkle, sag, and look really bad. And if you're feeling old, looking old, you know, lack energy and so forth, and just kind of depressed and you avoid the mirror, well, this is your product, because your problem is you've lost collagen. Collagen is the elixir of youth, and by the time you're in middle age, you've lost half of it. Now, there's lots of lotions, potions, and injections out there, but they do not work. This is a proprietary process in which five types of collagen coming from four sources blended into one crosses the blood-brain barrier and begins to replace lost collagen. And I know, skeptically, and you should say, how do I know it works? Because they give you a really big money-back guarantee, and they're giving you 51% off, and they have other little nice perks there. And they even put research about their product in there in layman's terms that everyone can understand. It's win-win-win, and you're going to look younger, feel younger as a result. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. Okay, I'm going to keep a straight face here. I'm going to tell the story. So Obama is campaigning for the biggest so-called Christian hypocrite I have ever seen in public life. And we're not allowed to talk about why he's a hypocrite, but he is, tremendously. I don't know how he gets any Christians to follow him, and as a result, I could never vote for him. That's my personal opinion. And I really wonder how people do. It's incredible. But anyway, so Obama's appearing for Warnock, and he says, "We love Uncle Joe. We just don't give him very difficult things to do." In that one statement, there's a multitude of messages being communicated. And you're like, holy crap, Batman. Do you realize what he just said? Let's start with the most obvious, then we'll work our way down. What he's saying is, Biden's so demented, he really can't do the job. We have to manage him. But number two, isn't this tantamount to an admission that Biden is being controlled by Obama? And Obama's the one who's really running the show? We love Uncle Joe. We just can't give him very difficult things to do. Who's we? I think he means me and Susan Rice. Didn't you know? We're calling the shots. This is my de facto third term, and that's how I would interpret that. It's hard not to. Thank you, Mr. Ex-President. Oh, my gosh. All these, what I could say, but shouldn't, so I won't. But you get the idea. You get the idea. We know who's in charge. We know who's in charge. How far will Biden's energy policies go? If Obama's really calling the shots, his first month in office as president in 2009 really speak to this. He tried to get a bill into the Senate, couldn't get it off the ground, and it was to reduce energy consumption in this country by 80%. We're not there yet, but we may have a figure that we could arrive at and say, when it reaches here and all hell is falling apart, and that may be where we're going. But anyway, Mr. President, thank you for your honesty, sir. This was worth the price of admission, ladies and gentlemen. Joe being called demented in a subtle manner, and Obama telling us who's really in charge. We'll see you back here next time. God bless all of you. Make sure you sign up for the commonsenseshow.tv. And, oh, yeah, you know the coffee cup I like to use right here. Okay, that's pretty cool. And we have some merchandise, too, some shirts and hoodies and stuff. And I'm not good at self-promotion, but I've kind of been nudged into it. And I'm thinking they've actually been really clever. This stuff is pretty cool. So you might want to check it out. Dave Hodges Merch, M-E-R-C-H, DaveHodgesMerch.com. See you back here next time.
And go ahead and play the next one, Kenny.
All right, you got it.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really great to be with you. We would invite you to join us and become a member of what we do. Subscribe, and you'll hopefully be notified. We've had a few issues with that, but hopefully you will be. Additionally, ladies and gentlemen, we are standing up for the rights for all Americans, and those are under attack. Nearly 200,000 Americans at this site. Join us as we work together to get our country back. We're brought to you by Ageless Multi-Collagen from BioTrust. Best research products in the world. In fact, when you go to healthwithdave.com, you're going to see all the great research that they do. Now, this product here will make you look better, feel better, have more energy, because it's a BioTrust product. And the process is proprietary. They describe it in their research, which you can read about, and they guarantee the results with a money-back guarantee. So you want to take away the signs of aging. You want to have thick skin that doesn't wrinkle, fall apart, and sag. Hair doesn't fall out by clumps. This is it. Putting that collagen back in your system is what actually causes you to be younger. But this is the only proprietary product that works. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. Finally, Jim Jordan comes out and assails the JCPA censorship bill, where big tech and big media not only get to fix prices on advertising with an antitrust exemption, but now he's saying, hold on. They're trying to determine who's a journalist. See, I've talked to you about their censorship, which they absolutely want to do, but they will control censorship in part by controlling who disseminates information. For example, I don't meet the employee requirement numbers here. We have, we have five people that work for us. Some are contract, some aren't. And I think Charlie Kirk has said he has 9 people. I know over at Freedom Phoenix, I think Ernie Hancock has 3 or 4. And they want to make it so you have to have like 50 employees. They're not setting an education requirement. Take journalism classes, get a degree, and you too can be a journalist. No. They're setting up the criteria to favor big media at the expense of small media. All the alternative media are small operations below 50 people. And that's how they're going to silence us. One of the ways. There's other ways, too. They're going after content regulation as well, too. You'll never be able to talk about elections or anything else that gets you banned today. They're just going to say, poop, that's it. And if you do it, you're off the Internet. They're attaching this bill to the defense spending bill. And Congressman Jordan, he's behind. He said, they'll attach it to an important bill, blah, 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 blah. And he's trying to organize against it. The problem is they need to get it through in the lame duck period because it may have a harder time passing in the House when it's not lame duck. Now, I will tell you this. If the Republican senators at all, if there are any who are worth the crown, they need to filibuster until the end of the term. That's the way we block it. They're also, the Democrats are putting defense, national security at risk by attaching this bill. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The attempt to shut up the opposition. And as I keep saying, you need to know this, the first principle of a dictatorship is to silence free speech so people can't organize against the tyrannical and sometimes deadly practices of those in power. That's the first principle, and this is what they're trying to put into law, to make the First Amendment extinct. This is clearly a First Amendment violation. Clearly. But the First Amendment is almost dead. It's on life support. And you are ready to move into communist China, Russia, and Cuba. I don't know which system we're closer to, but our country will look like China. I will tell you that. Our country is moving towards the Chinese model of suppression and repression and persecution and wrongful prosecution. Well, that's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure that you are a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting, where we employ a panel of experts who routinely come on and tell you about the regime change coup that's going on with the United States. And we're talking about a little of that here. We get it in depth and detail there. And people use this show from expert testimony to navigate the crap we're going through so they can make better decisions financially, socially, politically. That's the CommonSenseShow.tv. Don't forget about our merchandise store at Dave Hodges Merch, MERCH.com. We'll see you back here next time. God bless.
Now, in relation to the first recording you heard, relating to that Democrat politician who was running against Herschel Walker there in Georgia and the supposed pastor, how he could call himself a Christian and how anybody could call themselves a Christian and follow him in any way. Well, Philippians chapter 3 gives us the answer to that. Starting in verse 17 through verse 21, the Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration, declares, "Brother, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind the things. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. But again, verses 18 and 19, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Such people as this Democrat politician, supposed pastor, that even the likes of Barack Obama could stand up for, he's an enemy of the cross of Christ. You can call himself a Christian all he wants, okay? Calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Walking to Burger King, name any place you want, makes you a hamburger, okay? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. His God is his belly. He serves himself. He's all about what benefits and what serves him. He's not about serving others, and he's certainly not about serving the Most High God. Glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And, of course, his glory is thereby all the more in his shame, in his own sin, and he minds earthly things. And so it is with any professing so-called Christian that can actually even think of standing up for him and following him in any way, going to his so-called church. And also, Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says it all. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. And in relation to the second recording that you heard, I would just remind you, dear listener, that as I've mentioned before here in the Word of the King, years ago, I came across a document, and God knows I've tried to find this document more than once in the past, and then I finally gave up because I just could not relocate it. And like I said before, safe to say they took it down because they didn't want too many people seeing it. But I actually came across a UN document that talked about how in the year 2025, China was going to, along with forces of the United Nations, basically invade the United States of America. Okay, and it was either the exact date that that document mentioned was either May 1st or July 4th. It was either May 1st or July 4th of 2025. But in that document, it talked about, again, not just the Chinese, but it talked about re-education camps. And in case you didn't already guess, dear listener, what they've been calling quarantine camps since this whole COVID-19 thing started, those are really the re-education camps that document was talking about. They're just not calling them re-education camps yet. And as Dave said, more and more, we see where in the United States of America our own government is going more towards and is taking the United States of America more towards the Chinese model of operation, the credit approval system, where basically as long as you're a quote-unquote good boy, good girl, then the government lets you do what they say you can do. And if you're not good, well, then you can't do what they say you can't. But anyhow, on that note, I ask you to open up, have your fingers in Revelation 18 and Jeremiah 51. I'm going to read here Revelation chapter 18, starting in verse 20 down through the end of chapter, verse 24. Rejoice over her, thou ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And Jeremiah 51, verse, then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. Now, another very critical verse here in the course of what we're going to be talking about, as well as what we're going to be discussing with Brother John McTernan, is found in Peter's first epistle, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. And I'll start in verse 5 and go down to the end of the chapter, verse 14. And again, I would always do your own study, your own meditations before the Lord in light of what you're hearing. See these things be so. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, God's righteousness at Christ's expense, God's riches at Christ's expense, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Here it is, your verse 13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. And so doeth Marcus, my son. Verse 14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. But again, verse 13, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doeth Marcus, my son. That is a verse right there you're definitely going to make note of. And later, again, we will be discussing throughout the broadcast, as well as with Brother John. Now, I'm going to come back to that here before long, but for now, turn, if you would, 2 Thessalonians. And while you're turning to 2 Thessalonians, make note, 1 Timothy 3:16. Speaking of the mystery of godliness, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, down through verse 10, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And again, verse 8, flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. As that mystery of godliness manifests, again, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And even so, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For it's written, Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read of another mystery called the mystery of iniquity. Starting in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 10. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, the mystery of godliness, dear listener, was at before God was manifest in the flesh, just like the mystery of iniquity was already at work before that man of sin, the son of perdition, was manifest in the flesh. According to these verses, as we just got done reading here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, the question that I would pose, we're not going to go into a question and answer time, but nevertheless, the question that I would pose to you is, how, dear listener, do you believe the mystery of godliness was at work prior to God being manifest in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And while you think about that, I'll just read again, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Excuse me. Happened to be thinking, or you were thinking, anything about the angel of the Lord, you are correct. The angel of the Lord, if you recall, was basically, as we read of him in Scripture, throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, he was a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, definitely pray for me, dear listener, as you're listening, because Lord knows I'm just getting over some sinus issues. And tell me by the grace of God, I realized I cut back on my vitamin D3 some and made a connection, but I made a connection a little not as soon as I wish I would have, but nevertheless, as soon as I made the connection, I started up with my vitamin D3 again, and it's only by the grace of God that I don't sound even worse. Just up my vitamin D3 intake again. And by the way, that the ageless multi-collagen stuff that Dave Hodges referred to there in his recording that you heard, I have tried that stuff, and I have taken it myself, and it does work very good. In fact, I have another order of that, so I'll hopefully be getting here before long. So I would, surely as you're able, I would certainly encourage you to get some of that. It works very good. It's very good. But again, so, yes, the angel of the Lord, basically, when we read of the angel of the Lord in the context of the Old Testament Scriptures, is a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the mystery of godliness was all about God being manifest in the flesh. Okay, well, the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate manifestation, manifested before. So it is indeed through the angel of the Lord that the mystery of godliness was at work prior to God being manifest in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that note, you have, for example, one in Genesis, where Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord. That was one case right there in Genesis, even as Jacob was wrestling there with the angel of the Lord. We read about that. And then, of course, turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting in verse 1 down through verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So, we see here about how Christ was that spiritual rock which the children of Israel drank in the wilderness. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Here in Exodus chapter 3, we read of Moses and his encounter with the angel of the Lord. The very mystery of godliness at work, even in Moses' day. Starting in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 15. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And again, our God is a consuming fire. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel was come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to turn there, but you can make note of it in John chapter 8, the very end there. You go down through chapter very end, he says there, before Abraham was, I am. So here we see the angel of the Lord, God, his encounter with Moses, Moses' encounter with him, the very mystery of godliness at work, to God being manifest in the flesh, in and by that angel of the Lord. And again, we just got done reading 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4, about how that rock that ministered unto them, that they received drink from there in the wilderness, that rock was Christ, who we know was manifested as God manifest in the flesh. And on that note, turn to 1 John chapter 2. And while you're to, and again, this is just something you can make note of as we consider what we just looked at with Moses. It's all the more reason why, dear listener, it's all the more reason why Hebrews 11, that faith chapter, as they call it, declares, starting in verse 23 down through verse 29, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. But notice it says, esteeming the Christ greater riches. Because again, the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate manifestation of that rock who is Christ and was in due time manifested as that mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. And again, dear listener, as these days go on and we get closer to the Lord's return, you are all the more, and I am all the more, going to have to not fear the wrath of the king, lowercase k, Passover, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Now, I'm guessing most of you should definitely there be in 1 John by now, so 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ, he is the one and only advocate that we have for God the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 declare, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the God-man, God manifest in the flesh, that mystery of godliness. Not Mary, not some sinner dressed in a religious robe called Father, Roman Catholic, contrary to the command of Jesus Christ, when he said, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, Matthew 23, verse 9. No. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4, 12 declares. The Apostle Peter himself proclaiming that there in the context of the demonstration and the power of the Spirit. It's not through some church. It's not through any name, but that name, which is above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. As 1 John chapter 1 says here in verse 6, through, we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Venial, mortal, all sin. There is no purgatory. The place doesn't exist. Jesus Christ did all the purging. It's either heaven or hell when you die. Verse 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, all means just that, all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. First John chapter 2, starting in verse 15 and read down from verse 25. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, they might be manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. That which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So, it's been said, and it is indeed true, dear listener, that even as for all of sin come short of the glory of God, we are all by nature as sinners in the flesh, Antichrist, ultimately. And even as we are by nature in the flesh as sinners, Antichrist, it's all the more reason why, when the beast has his final day in the sun, so to speak, before Jesus Christ returns and destroys him, the world will be so inclined to follow him. The only ones who are not going to follow him are those whose names are found written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. I praise God. I know my name is there, dear listener. Do you know that your name is there, going to be found there? The Word of God declares, Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And as verse 18 of 1 John 4 declares, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Are you afraid? Do you fear the wrath of the earthly king, lowercase k? Do you fear the wrath of the God, lowercase g-o-d, of this world? Satan, the devil? It's because you have yet to be made perfect in love. Oh, but Christ, he has offered himself once for all. It's appointed a man once to die, but after this judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And with that sanctification comes the perfection, whereby one is made perfect in love and right standing before God by faith in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice alone. First John 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, you say that you are a Christian. You say you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, a believer in Yeshua. Let me ask you, is it a hard thing keeping his commandments for you? I mean, is it a grievous thing? Or do you take pleasure in keeping his commandments? Because if you can't sincerely take pleasure in keeping his commandments, dear listener, you have every reason to examine yourself. Make sure you're really in the faith, because I would be inclined to tell you that you have yet to truly be born of the Spirit of God if you don't know what it means, you don't know how to take pleasure in keeping his commandments. Because ultimately, when you get born again, when you get saved, God gives you a new heart. He gives you a new nature, a new tongue. And with that new heart, with that new nature, and with that new tongue, comes pleasure in keeping his commandments. Hence, verse 4, 1 John 5 declares, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 declares, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So yes, dear listener, by grace through faith, that not of yourself, you can know for sure that you are right with God, and the moment you die, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That Roman Catholic tradition called sin of presumption is in and of itself a sin and a lie, okay? As long as the Word of God says what I just got done reading, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's nothing presumptuous about saying you can know for sure, or that you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, as surely as you put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. John 5, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And on that note, dear listener, who do you worship as God? If you worship anyone other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even as he was manifest in the flesh, in the person of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as 1 John 5:7 declares, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. If you worship any god other than him, you are an idolater, condemned. The first of the Ten Commandments declares, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you make note, Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through 30. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through 30, you'll see where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace there by Nebuchadnezzar, because they wouldn't bow down. Along with Daniel, they would not. They refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image at his command. And Nebuchadnezzar, at one point, talks about how he says, put three people there and fire. But yet I see this other one, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Like unto the Son of God was another one of those pre-incarnate manifestations of the Lord Jesus Christ, another manifestation of that mystery of godliness at work prior to God being manifest in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As John 3:16 declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, on this whole matter, I gave a couple examples here of the mystery of godliness at work prior to God being manifest in the flesh, that mystery of godliness being manifest in the flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, when we talk about the mystery of iniquity being already at work, for example, consider Isaiah chapter 14. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. And while you're turning to Isaiah 14, I would just encourage you to make note also, Judas Iscariot, he was another example. Judas Iscariot was another example. John chapter 6, verses 61 through 71, and John 17, verses 1 through 17. We even see where Jesus Christ there, in the context of John 17 there, talks about how of all those that were given to him, none were lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And of course, that son of perdition that he was talking about there in the context was none other than Judas Iscariot. So Judas Iscariot, he's one example right there of how the mystery of iniquity was already at work prior to that man of sin being revealed in the context of which we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter. Another example to make note of, like I said, we'll look here at this one here in Isaiah 14, but another one to make note of, Ezekiel 28, verses 1 through 19, you read there about the Prince of Tyrus there, in Ezekiel 28, and actually I might go ahead here, might look at that here quick, but let's do Isaiah 14 here first. But then here, but another one, though, too, is Herod in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 16 through 25. Herod in Acts 12, verses 1 through 5, verses 16 through 25. If you recall there in the context, the people there were, oh, it's the voice of a God, the voice of a God. And so it's because he didn't give God the glory. The angel of the Lord had him smitten, judged right there on the spot. But that was another example of the mystery of iniquity already at work in that context. But here in Isaiah 14, because ultimately after I get done here with this, I want to get Brother John here. I want to show these. He's with us. Another example, too, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 10 through 17, you read about the church of Pergamos, and you read about Satan's seat. Satan's seat there in Pergamos. Okay, the reason why Satan had his seat there in the context of Pergamos is because he was indwelling somebody there in Pergamos. Again, it's another example of the mystery of iniquity already at work prior to that man of sin being manifested and revealed as we read in the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Isaiah 14, starting in verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. This shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. But thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. Verse 7, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. It stirreth up the dead For thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And you jump down and you see verse 22, for I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and the son and nephew, saith the Lord. And also, if you make note, Isaiah chapter 13, you read that chapter starting verse 1, and the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice of them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And verse 9 says, behold, the day of the Lord cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and is going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man, than the golden wedge of Ophir. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself even said, except he shorten the days, no flesh would be saved alive. Verse 13 of Isaiah 13, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And real quick, turn to Ezekiel 28, and then we will play the midway through song and get Brother John on after I read this here. Again, we're going to just give another example here of the mystery of iniquity at work prior to man of sin being revealed, manifest in the context which we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, Ezekiel 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. Wisdom, and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. And you jump down, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect beauty. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So obviously, dear listener, when he says that, he's not talking about, or he's not just addressing some mere man. No, he's addressing none other than Lucifer, the devil himself, even as he had taken up residency in the prince of Tyrus and was exalted and magnified himself as God according to that mystery of iniquity. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone is thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy threats and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. There you have it, dear listener. Again, those are examples of the mystery of iniquity already at work prior to that man of sin being revealed, manifested in the context that we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, Brother Kenny, if you would go ahead and play the song midway through and check to see if we got Brother John McTurnan with us. Okay, dear listener, I don't know what's going on right now, but Kenny's having some time here with the song, so. Meanwhile, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ declared, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. For if the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kenny, you going to play the song?
Hold on, Tim.
You got it.
John with us, Kenny?
Okay, I looked in, but the last I looked during the song, he was not there. It was just you.
All right, then. Okay, then. Meanwhile, I'll just continue here.
Nope, just
you. We looked earlier, First Peter. Okay, Kenny, let's continue then. First Peter 5, verse 13, the Word of God declares, the church that is at Babylon elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doeth Marcus, my son. The Word of God declares here in Jeremiah chapter 50, starting in verse 33, go down through verse 40. It's Jeremiah 50, verses 33 through 40. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. And they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. It is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore the wild beast of the desert, the idols, shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell there, and it shall be no more inhabited forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there. Neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Very clear, the church that is at Babylon elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doeth Marcus, my son. Now, surely as there was the church at Babylon elected together in the context which Peter wrote under inspiration, 1 Peter 5:13, then how could have this verse possibly been fulfilled, dear listener? Verse 39 of Jeremiah 50, therefore the wild beast of the desert with the wild beast of the island shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell there, and it shall be no more inhabited forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. And again, verse 34, God even tells you, it's talking about Babylon. Verse 34, their Redeemer is strong, Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Verse 35, a sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. And I'll tell you that as surely as 1 Peter 5:13 says, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, Babylon was obviously still inhabited in the day when Peter wrote that under inspiration, and therefore these verses had not yet been fulfilled. They're still not fulfilled, which is another reason why I will tell you that physical Babylon must be reestablished in order for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Now, something else to consider here in this context, in Jeremiah 51, Jeremiah chapter 51, we'll start in verse 41, Jeremiah 51, how is Shishak taken, and how is the praise of the whole earth surprised, how has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? Verse 42, the sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Verse 43, her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. Verse 44, and I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Verse 45, my people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Meanwhile, I'm just going to say, Brother John, if you're there, just go ahead and speak up and listen. At any point, speak up and let us know you're there. But anyhow, verse 45, Jeremiah 51 again, my people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. So here we see in the context, God of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul from the fierce anger of he, the Lord. Now, go to Jeremiah chapter 21. Jeremiah chapter 21, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, the son of Malchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us, if so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. Then said Jeremiah unto them, thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of this city. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand, and with a strong anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterward, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence, from the sword, from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life, and he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity nor have mercy. Then unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Now, listen carefully, dear listener, to what the Lord commands in this context. Verse 9, he that abideth in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. He shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. For I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire, and touching the house of the king of Judah, say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him the despoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Behold, I am against thee, O inhabitant of the valley, and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitations? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it. God says, he that abideth in the city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goeth out and fall to the Chaldeans, besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. So God basically tells, he basically commands him, if you want to live, then you submit to the Babylonian captivity. He doesn't tell him to flee from Babylon in that context. Now, Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22, starting in verse 23 down through the end of the chapter, verse 30. O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee, the pain as of a woman in travail, as I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were to sign it upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans, and I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee into another country where you were not born, and there shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, to them shall they not return. Coniah, a despised broken idol, is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. So again, here in the context, verse 25, God says, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. He is?
Not yet.
Okay, John, are you there? Okay, well, all right then. Jeremiah 25, It's 11 through 16. Word of God declares that this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them.
Tim, I got a hold of John. He said he'll be with us momentarily.
Okay. So, dear listener, in verse 12 of Jeremiah chapter 25, we read that God will make it perpetual desolations. Okay, perpetual desolations will not be inhabited, as we looked at before in the other context. And Jeremiah chapter 9 is another chapter that we'll look at here, hopefully, after John joins us here momentarily. But more than once in Jeremiah, God tells them to submit to the Babylonian captivity, to not resist it. So, obviously, in the context of what we read earlier in Jeremiah 51, verse 45, when God tells them to flee and to come out from Babylon, he's not talking about in the context of the Babylonian captivity in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. It's obvious from Scripture. But yet, you go over to Revelation 18, verse 4, starting in verse 1, read down through verse 4. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven, saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled to her double. And if you look in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 15, one reads the following. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her as she hath done. Do unto her. And verse 13, because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. But yeah, God says again right there, because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. And again, 1 Peter 5:13, one reads, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. So you're marked by the tongue.
Hello.
Is he there now?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, on how to call into the show? Okay, if you got a pen, I can tell you how to do it. I call 1-424-243-9617.
and then you just press the number one as soon as you call in. And then I'll open your mic since I'm running the board. Okay, thanks.
Well, dear listener, I guess maybe you just heard there, too, how you can call in, too, again. Because Kenny, I think, forgot to put his there on mute. But anyhow, John should be calling in momentarily here. So, again, surely as God says, because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, and it should be wholly desolate. How could have that been fulfilled in the context of 1 Peter 5:13, when Peter explicitly writes under inspiration of the church that is at Babylon and went together with you? And I'll tell you, dear listener, the answer is it was not yet fulfilled. And keep in mind, where did humanity first, after the fall, where did humanity first rise up the living God and basically unite against the living God? Was it not at a place called the Tower of Babel, at a place called Babylon? There's even a principle mentioned in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, that which hath been is that which shall be. And even as it was at a place called the Tower of Babylon that humanity first united against the living God, so their final uniting against the living God, that place called Babylon, is also going to play a very central part in it. And hence, that's all the more reason why in Revelation chapter 17 we read of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And of course, even as she is that city that reigns over the kings of the earth, mystery, Babylon the Great, has been manifested as none other than in the Roman Catholic institution. And that
and Tim, John is with us now.
Rome. Okay, Brother John, how are you doing?
Yes, Tim, hello. Yes, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear, John.
Okay.
Okay, Brother John, first of all, I'm going to have Kenny go ahead and play one of these Aaron Russo recordings. Could you play the first of that Aaron Russo recording, Kenny, please?
You got it.
What happened on 9/11 is a phony, you know, and we've never learned the truth about 9/11. The whole agenda is to create a one-world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips. And this is given straight from Rockefeller, so that's what they want to accomplish. And what do you think women's liberation was about? We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded women's liberation. They do whatever they want to do. What we want doesn't matter anymore. It's their agenda, it's their plans that they have all the money they want. They can make all the money. They have a machine. They can make all the money. It's not about money. It's about control. It's about their vision of how they want to see the world. You hear George Bush saying, democracy means freedom. No. Democracy equals a new world order. I believe God put me on this earth to be the best person I could be. I put everybody on this earth to be the best they could be. You have to stand up for what's right. Unless you do that, you're nothing. Freedom fighter. Aaron Russo was an amazing individual. You know, he'd been battling cancer for more than 3.5 years when he began making American Freedom to Fascism that he shot, directed, edited pretty much on his own with just the help of a few people. An amazing individual. A long life of award-winning films, of hard work, and for standing up to the Bill of Rights and Constitution. You know, when we first went to shot this interview, I put it on the web for free, but parts of it have never been seen. So here today, see the in-depth interview, the final interview with Aaron Russo.
But his important work lives on. You know, he made one of the definitive films exposing the elite that control this nation and the world, the private Federal Reserve. And the information he put out 2 years ago rings more true today than ever. And his film, America, Freedom to Fascism, and Mad as Hell, and the other great works he did, just continue, like ripples in a pond, to light bushfires in the minds of men and women everywhere. So this film is dedicated to the one, the only, Aaron Russo.
You rolling? I'm honored to be interviewed by Alex Jones, a truth seeker, fighting for justice in America.
Yeah, he started and hit me all smiling. Aaron, when did you start to think something was wrong in the world and start to find out about the whole banking cartel and the Federal Reserve System, the New World War?
Well, that was a progression of events. I've always been a very independent person. Always believed in individuality and that we were put on this earth to be unique individuals to fulfill our God-given potential, and that the only way to fulfill your potential is to be free, to find out who you are, and to make errors, to make mistakes. And as I grew up, I began to realize more and more the government was inhibiting me in things that I wanted to do. And what happened, I was very successful in the ladies' lingerie business. I worked for my dad. He had a small undergarment business. And I created the first ladies' bikini panties back in 1963, actually. And then I opened up a nightclub in Chicago called the Electric Theater that opened up the day Martin Luther King was assassinated. Wow. All right? And so the city of Chicago was in flames the day my club opened. And nobody came out to the club. And what happened was that was the year of the Democratic Convention in Chicago in 68. And so my club became a hangout for the hippies, you know, and they wanted to go to Chicago and protest what was going on. And I was having a concert at my club one night to raise money. And the police raided the nightclub. My club for no reason at all. And I was standing outside in my office overlooking the street, and I saw all these paddy wagons pulling up in front of my club. And I was a 23-year-old kid. You know, I had no experience at all, really. So what are these paddy wagons doing here? And then I saw all these cops getting out of the paddy wagons coming into my club. I said, oh, my God, they're raiding me. And so I ran down to the stage, and I got on the stage. I stopped the band from playing, and I said to the people in the audience, we're being raided. You know, so sit down on the floor, cooperate, you know, and apply your identification and cooperate with the police. And as I said that, two of the cops from behind threw me onto the floor and grabbed me and started dragging me out of the club. I'm going, you know, victory, victory, you know, playing the floor was worth it at the time. I was a kid. And then I saw the fire department there. And the fire department was dumping garbage cans, the garbage, all over the floor. And I thought to myself, well, why are they doing that? I know very quickly they were dragging me out. And I didn't quite understand it. So they threw me into the paddy wagon. As I got into the paddy wagon, one of the cops grabbed my testicles from behind and squeezed. And I went to the paddy wagon in gigantic pain. And the next person that came into the paddy wagon, the cop, as he was stepping in, the cops took the billy club, smashed him on the head with it, and just split his skull, you know, for no reason. I mean, there was nothing wrong.
So that was kind of your wake-up?
That was my wake-up. Like, what is going on? I thought this is America. So I initially blamed it on Chicago and Mayor Daley, thinking it was Chicago. And anyway, the headlines of the newspapers the next day, you know, there was my picture in the newspapers, the headlines, Electric Theater short-circuited, it was raided. And in the article, they went ahead and they said that the reason they raided the club was because the fire department came there and saw it was messy full of garbage, and the hippies started attacking them, which was totally
true. No dirty hippies.
Yeah, totally false. You know, it was a complete fabrication.
So they ran a false flag on you.
Of course. You know, and I was in shock. I said, people lie like that? People actually do these things? I couldn't believe it, you know? It was an awakening to me. And I went on television, I told people on television that they lied. Nobody cared. Nobody cared what the truth was. You know, it was shocking to me. And then
week or 2 weeks later, I forget exactly what it was, two cops come to see me, a lieutenant and a sergeant, a captain and a sergeant. And they said, "Mr. Russo, we're sorry if you got hurt that night at the club and the raid, but we're here to tell you that if you want to keep the club open, it's going to take $2,000 a month, and we're going to come see you once a month, and whenever we have to raid you, we're going to call you, you know, and we'll let you know we're going to come in tonight and raid you."
This is mafia.
Well, the police mafia,
yeah.
You know. And it was actually more interesting. They said, "Listen, there's the A plan, there's the B plan, and there's the Super Deluxe plan. And this one, of course, each one, of course, that much money a month. Which one do you want?"
Well, the Super Deluxe.
That's the one I took. That was a $2,000 a month plan. And I took that plan, and I paid them $2,000 a month, and they left me alone. And whenever they were going to raid the club, they would come there, we were going to raid. We had a phony raid tonight, you know, just to look good for the people in the neighborhood, you know.
So that was your first big education?
That was my education into corruption in government, you know. But I really thought that was basically Chicago. I didn't realize it was the whole country was like that. And so that was my wake-up call that people lie and cheat and steal. And I thought that everybody was always honest and nice and decent. And I had no idea about any of these things. Well, what happened with me was finally one day they came to me. And they said, "Look, we can't take your money anymore." I said, "Why? What's up? What's going on?" They said, "We have to close your club. This election is coming, and the alderman, the neighbor, don't want you open anymore. So we can't take your money." So I had to go to court and fight them, and they were trying to close the club. And then one night there was a fire, and the club never reopened again. The club just closed, and that was the end of the club. And they burned me down, and that was the end of my experience. And then I moved back to New York, where I met Bette Midler. And I ran into her at a little nightclub she was playing called The Improv. And I thought she was fabulous. And through a series of events, I began managing her. And as soon as I started managing her, her career took off like a rocket. You know, just fortuitous, I guess. And we became very, very successful. And through managing Bette, I started producing shows on Broadway where I won the Tony. And I produced the television show. I won the Emmy with Dustin Hoffman in bed, you know. And then I produced The Rose for her, where she got Academy Award nominations. And then that led me to producing Trading Places, which everybody knows. You know,
I think it's the best Eddie Murphy movie.
Well, it's a good one. I don't know if it's the best, but it's a really good one. And I'm very proud I made that movie. And so in my mind, I feel as if I've made a classic comedy in Trading Places, a classic musical in The Rose, and a classic documentary in Freedom to Fascism. You know, so I'm very proud of my work that I've done as a filmmaker.
Okay. Brother John, would you please explain to the audience that is listening how the RFID chip that he referred to in the recording, how that relates to Bible prophecy?
Well, what's coming, in fact, we're right at the door, is total control of society, total control of everything. And they're going to do it by electronics and tying everything into a master, I'm going to call it control. In fact, I've written on it, and I call it the 666 surveillance system. Tim, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but I do have a blog that it covers the 666 surveillance system. And every week I am putting up articles right on it. In fact, I'm going to turn right now while we're talking to the blog and just read some of the highlights. And it involves these chips and other electronic items that they'll use to control us. So here we go. Whoops, I'm in the wrong spot. Just hang on here. Why you may soon find yourself in a digital prison, and all the areas where they're electronically tying together and control us. New World Order coalition of private companies release policy blueprint for state government officials to push for digital ID. New identity system for European Union citizens. Central bank digital currency. Social credit system explained. This is all happening alive now as I'm talking to you. We're being facially recognized now with technology, and that's all tying in to what we own, what our medical issues, our insurance, bank accounts. It's all being centralized now, and chips are at the heart of this, Brother Tim, and they want us chipped in the worst way. The New World Order, that they're not even hiding it. Bill Gates just spent he's put in like $1 billion, close to $1 billion, to digitize everybody on Earth. Everybody on Earth will have they call it a passport, and everything about you will be tied into it, and they're using the QR code to do it. So this isn't futuristic, like I'm saying, of 20 years this will happen. It's unfolding right before us, and if you know where to look, you can see it, Tim. You can see it unfolding as I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I'll just on that note read Revelation 13, verses 7 through 18. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, Brother John, I know you have talked in the past, and I do agree with you. I do believe that there will be a tattoo involved, though there is no doubt an implant also, because the Word of God makes it very clear that the mark is in the right hand, in the forehead. But I do believe there will be a tattoo involved as well. And I'm just curious, did you know that the so-called Star of David, which is also known in the rule of the occult as the hexagram, actually has the number 666 hidden in it?
No.
But yeah, it does. In fact, too bad I can't show it to you right now, or else I would actually show it to you right now, because I was even thinking about it once when I was in Israel, and, you know, God says back there in Isaiah, he talks about how, you know, basically somebody was sort of paraphrasing. He says that he'll answer before we even pray. He'll hear and he'll answer before we even pray something. I was even wondering in my heart about this, because I remember somebody had shown me once before about how number 666 was hidden in that, and I was even wondering to the Lord about that, because I could not remember for the life of me what it was. And then, John, I kid you not, it wasn't long after that. One day I was in Jerusalem, and I was across from Damascus Gate. Here, I came up to this guy, this Ethiopian guy, and I actually offered him your 666 surveillance track. And then he, out of nowhere, asked me, or he takes this piece of paper towel, and he actually makes this what you would think was the Star of David, but it's actually an occultic symbol called the hexagram. And he takes a marker, puts it on there, and then he starts actually showing this. how 666 is founded. And I was just thinking about this like a day or two before. And he was very thankful for your 666 surveillance track. And he told me that God has a word for you. And I said, okay, sure, what is it? And then he took me to Acts chapter 7, where it talks about how Israel, how they had worshipped the star Remphan, there in Acts chapter 7. But yeah, it does have it hidden in it. Because when I learned that, and I was able to actually put that together, it made sense all the more why Hitler and the Nazis back in the Holocaust actually put that on the Jews like they did. Because, I mean, obviously they weren't trying to honor anything in the way of Jewish patriotism, obviously. But if you think about it, if you understand, it's actually an occultic symbol called the hexagram, and they obviously wanted to curse. They wanted to hex the Jews, so that's why they put it on them. But the reason why I say that, John, is what do you think? What do you think the tattoo, do you have any opinion as to what you think the tattoo will be?
Yes. I think the tattoo is going to be a QR code. When the international passport that they're trying to slam dunk on everybody, they want everybody in the world to have a passport, and inside the passport that you'll be able to flash when you're going to get on a plane or you go to a bank, you go to a hospital, it will be your own personal QR code. Everybody in the world will have a QR code, and all their information will be centered into like a little website with the QR code. Now, when you look at the QR code, and of course I can't show one right now, but you know that there are three blank spots, two on the top and one on the bottom left-hand side. And the bottom right-hand side, there's no blank spot in it. And so 666 would fit perfectly in those blank spots in the QR code. So the reason, and that's what Bill Gates is promoting. Bill Gates is promoting the passport with the QR code. They want everybody in the world to get their own personal QR code. And that will be in the passport. Right now, I've seen it being used in China. And people that want to use toilets, I know it's bizarre, but they have public toilets and there's someone guarding it. And you've got it on your phone. The people that have phones, they come and they show them the QR codes on the phone and they get the okay to come in. I watched it. I watched it in several places in China where to travel, you show your QR code. Even to use, like I said, public bathrooms, you have to show the QR code. So China is really advanced in this, and they wanted to do it. In fact, earlier, what was it, last month, the World Economic Forum, they pressed a resolution they had that the whole world was to get a passport. I'm sure you're aware of that, Brother Tim.
Yeah.
Well, if you look beyond that, and I did post it at that time, if you look beyond it, in the passport, or the passport would actually be like your cell phone, everybody is going to have a QR code, everybody in the world. So to me, the link in the whole world right now together is that QR code. That's what they're really promoting that now, that every single person in the world will have a QR code.
Yep, they sure are. Now, before we get into this whole topic concerning Babylon, Bible prophecy, would you also tell the listeners about what you are convinced will be a mind control element involved in all this with the Mark of the Beast?
Yeah, there's some of the mind control is subtle and some isn't, but they're using Tim, there's so much involved in it. They're using fear and the media, number one. Like, for example, with the COVID vaccine, with COVID, the COVID was a pandemic for the elderly. If a person was over, I think 75, the COVID was killing upwards to 10% of the people. It was somewhere around 7-8%, no more than 10%. That qualifies for a pandemic. But when you were younger, and especially a youngster, the death rate was like 0.0001. It was minuscule. But anyways, they use fear. And
yes,
the people that followed the media and weren't able to think this through, they fell for it. And so many people were dying. Well, it was the elderly. And people do die, Tim, from the flu. Every year, thousands of people die from the flu. Most of them, though, are not healthy. They may have diabetes. They may have lung problems. They may have cancer. And they get the flu and they die. Usually a person that's really healthy doesn't have any issues. They could get real sick with the flu, but they don't die. So all of that about the COVID-19 was a big fear job every day. And then masks, which don't work. I mean, there is not one scientific study that shows a mask can stop a virus. Because if it could stop a virus, it would stop oxygen flowing into us. It was all a common job of fear, Tim, fear. And that was, they were controlling huge numbers of people by fear, and then they were herded into taking these shots. Now, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And on day one, Tim, day one, when this COVID thing hit, Bill Gates came out and said that a vaccine was going to be needed, and maybe two or three vaccines were going to be needed. The whole world was going to have to be vaccinated because of COVID-19. That was a con job. It was lies, and it was all motivated by fear. And they gave the COVID-19 shots, the booster shots, and more shots. Tim, while we're on the topic, you stop me if I'm running too long, but I want to show you a headline. I believe I have it right here. Just came out today in Germany about the, here it is right here. All right, this isn't the one, but a doctor has just come out and said that the data of the pandemic was just released following data from the health insurances to show 4 times increase in sudden deaths following the COVID vaccine shot. So the sudden death we're seeing is coming from these shots. There's more people dying from the shots than died from the actual COVID-19. So, Tim, they're motivating that mind control. One of them is out right in front of you, fear, using the media, using lies in the media, using false statistics in the media. So, and that's what the Nazis used. The Nazis used fear to control the population. And that's what they're doing now to the American people. They're using, and not only the American, but all, wherever they can, all many other countries, they're using fear for mind control.
Yes. And on that note, we'll come back here shortly. John, I'm just going to read these verses, and Kenny's going to play one more. Yeah, one more clip here. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 down through verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man to make his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And knoweth I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, Kenny, if you would play the next Aaron Russo clip, please.
Okay, give me 1 second to get in place. Okay, here we go.
You got 30% of the vote. You were having an effect. You made mad as hell. They knew that you'd started the Constitution Party. They knew that you were somebody who was taking action and getting things done. You already made some big films, had a lot of other successes.
Right.
So they were trying to recruit you, and didn't it come down to the point of, hey, we are here to recruit you, and don't worry, your chip's going to say, don't mess with us. You know, this guy's don't touch.
Yeah, yes, that did happen. Now, I was definitely being recruited, but it's more subtle than that.
Well, your words, just go through the process, and then when you say
it. Well, what it is remember, we were friends, and we used to go to my house a lot. We'd have dinner, we'd talk, and he'd tell me about business investments, how you get involved in, you know, or they would help me with this business investment or that business investment. And was I interested in joining the Council on Foreign Relations? You know, I would have to get a letter to join them, but was I interested in that? And, you know, just stuff, you know, leading you on. And I used to say to him that I never really did that because that wasn't where I was coming from. You know, as much as I like you, Nick, you know, your ways and my ways, we're on the opposite side of the fence. You know, I don't believe in enslaving people. You know,
and he would come back with, oh, I do.
Well, it would be more like, you know.
It's better for them.
It's more like, you know, how do I put it? It was like, what do you care about those people? What difference does it make to you? Take care of your own life. Do the best you can for you and your family. What do the rest of the people mean to you? They don't mean anything to you. They're just serfs. They're just people. You know, it was just a lack of caring, you know, and that's just not who I was. It was just sort of like cold, you know, it was just like cold, you know. And I said, what's the point of all this? You have all the money in the world you need. You have all the power you need. What's the point? You know, what's the end goal? And he said the end goal was to get everybody chipped, to control the whole society.
There you have it, dear listener. There you have it. The end goal is to get everybody chipped. Any other comments, John?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what the Bible says. No one can buy or sell. Just before the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's a worldwide system put in place where no one can buy or sell without this number, the 666. And that'll trigger the system so you can buy or sell. And we are, Tim, we're probably 90% of the way there now. It's, well, the third world countries are catching up very fast now. But as far as the Western countries, yeah. I think that they could implement something like this tomorrow if it was forced upon us. It's there. The digital system, digitizing, everything is being digitalized, virtually everything. So we're right knocking in the door of this system, Tim.
Yes. Yep, technology is definitely there. For sure. Okay. Now, on this, there's like one or two other, those Aaron Russo, these are listened to. But before we do any more of those, John, I want to elaborate here. Now, 1 Peter 5:13 declares, the church that is at Babylon elected together with you, saluted to you, and so doeth Marcus, my son. Now we read numerous times in the context of Jeremiah 49 through 52 about God making Babylon perpetual desolation, there not being any inhabitants. I quoted a couple of those verses earlier. And even when you compare Revelation 17 and 18 with what's written in the context of Jeremiah 49-52, you see a lot of parallels, a lot of similarities. So in light of that, how do you explain there not having to be a yet restoration, physical Babylon, in order for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled?
Well, Revelation 17, 18, and really 13, well, 13 also, but 17 is a political, a religious, and a economic Babylon. And so it's it's more than a location, it's a world system. And when we look at Revelation 17, 9, it says that when the Bible says heads here in context, well, let me read the verse. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And that's the whore of Babylon. The seven mountains, that describes Rome. Rome, in fact, that's the city that sits on seven mountains. Now, when we go over to Isaiah chapter 13, for example, it's talking about judgment on physical Babylon. So let me turn to that. And it's talking about the
portions of that earlier. Go ahead.
What was that?
Portions of that earlier. Go ahead and turn there.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll just sum it up the way I see it. That the modern Babylon is the nation of Iraq. Babylon is located in modern Iraq. And that area is going to be turned into Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be completely destroyed. When you go over to Revelation 14, Isaiah 14, which follows 13 on this, it's going to be uninhabitable. It's just going to be nestles and like swamps and all of that. When you look at the end time battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39, Babylon is not mentioned. It's not mentioned at all.
So you do believe Babylon has to be destroyed yet in that context. You do believe it has to be destroyed yet, but you just don't believe it's a restored Babylon. Okay.
Exactly.
I got you.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. All right.
To be honest with it, or to be clear on it, I think it's going to be Rome with the papacy. I think that's going to be the center of end time Babylon.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that either. I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah.
And so we're heading right now. Yeah, go ahead, please. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no. You got to remember, though, too, where Rome's religion comes from, too. Rome's religion comes from physical Babylon. And if anything, that's another reason why I was inclined to believe that there was a connection there in terms of a restored Babylon in that context.
Yeah, when we look at scriptures about the end time religion, there's two scriptures to look at. And see, a lot of people think it's going to be Islam, but it's not going to be Islam.
No.
Islam's going to fall. When we get to Revelation chapter, I'm in Isaiah. I was panicking. I'm in Isaiah instead of Revelation, and I'm going, oh, no. What am I? It's Revelation 9, and we get to verse 20. It tells us the end time religion. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So the end time religion is going to be revival of classic ancient paganism, which is from Babylon. The Babylon religion is classic paganism as we know it. So
yeah,
it's going to be a revival of paganism. And the ancient pagans, the Egyptians, they worship a man, Pharaoh. The Babylonians worship Nebuchadnezzar. The Romans worshiped Caesar. And the ancient Greeks, all their gods were men. So to worship the Antichrist fits right in with paganism. It's a perfect fit.
Yes. Yep.
So the end time Babylonian religion is going to be classic paganism that you could go look at the Egyptians and see how the Egyptians worship. They worship all sorts, the river, and they worship the earth. They worship cats and all sorts, and then they worship the man. They worship Pharaoh. That's what we're going to see in the end times.
Yep. And again, you talk about them worshiping Pharaoh, that's that mystery of iniquity that was at work well in advance of even that man of sin being revealed in the context of 2 Thessalonians 2, as I was talking about earlier. So,
Yes, and 2 Timothy, it says in 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, I believe, it says, the mystery of iniquity is already at work, only he who led it, that means the whole back, will let until he's taken out of the way. So the Holy Spirit is keeping the mystery of iniquity now bottled up until the end times. But I look at it when you go to 1 John chapter 2, it talks about the spirit of Antichrist. So the spirit of Antichrist and the mystery of iniquity is the same. And they are going to bring in the system and set it up for the man of sin, the beast, as the Bible calls him, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, he will be set up to be worshipped. So that's working overtime now, Tim, in the world. We can see this whole system coming together to set up God's end time prophetic scenario.
Yes, indeed. And on that note, Kenny, if you would play another one of those clips, Aaron Russo, please.
Did you say something to me, Tim? Tim, did you say something to me?
Yeah, I heard a noise. I think he's offline.
I think it's possible. If so, I'll get him back.
Kenny, can you hear me? Kenny, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now, Tim. You disappeared.
Well, Kenny, would you play the Aaron Russo?
No problem at all. Just give me 1 second. In fact, it's the last one you have, Tim.
All right.
Tell me was that we grew up as a pastor night, and we were talking, and he started laughing. He said, Aaron, what do you think women's liberation was about? And I'm pretty convinced of thinking about it at that point. I said, I think it's about women having the right to work, get equal pay with men, just like they won the right to vote. You know? And he starts to laugh. He said, you're an idiot. And I said, why am I an idiot? He said, let me tell you what that was about. We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded Women's Lib, you know? And we're the ones who got all of the newspapers and television, the Rockefeller Foundation. He says, and you want to know two primary reasons. And they were, one reason was we couldn't tax half the population before Women's Lib. And the second reason was now we get the kids in school at an early age. you can indoctrinate the kids how to think. As soon as it breaks up this family, the kids start looking at the state as the family, as the school, as the officials, as their family, not as the parents teaching them. And so those are the two primary reasons for women's lib, which I thought up to that point was a noble thing. You know, when I saw their intentions behind it, where they were coming from when they created it, the thought of it, I saw the evil behind what I thought was a noble adventure.
Well, just one more reason, dear listener, to get your kids out of the public schools, surely you have any of them in the public schools. Now, John, if you would, in light of that, if you would comment to the audience on the UN and their depopulation agenda and how that relates to the whole women's lib movement with the abortion and all that.
Well, this is so big that it's hard for people to believe, but hopefully more people can see it now than just even a couple of years ago. But the UN is controlled for the most part, not all of it, but the major players in it is controlled by what we call the New World Order. And you can see the front for that is the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab. Bill Gates is involved in it. George Soros is involved in it. They brag about certain governments under their control, like Canada, for example, many European governments. I believe Biden and them are under the control of the New World Order. And one of their major goals is to depopulate the earth. Now, I'm going by what they said, not what I think they said, but the New World Order, they say that people are a virus and that we are destructive. Just as a virus will kill a body if it's not brought under control. So they see people as a virus on the earth, not as being created in God's image and Jesus dying on the cross for us. So their goal is to depopulate the earth, but not by like a billion or two or 3 billion. Their ultimate goal is 500 million people. That's their ideal goal. And so they have many things going on to implement that, like abortion, sterilization, vaccinations. Bill Gates talks about population control, giving people vaccinations. Well, you know, you think of a vaccination as to protect you against the disease, but he's talking about it for population control, which means to limit population. That's exactly what they were doing in India and Africa until the people caught on to what they were doing with population control through vaccination. And now they're seeing with these shots connected with COVID-19, one of the results of the shot is really reducing the sperm count of men and really affecting the woman's reproductive cycle and really making her sterile.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, it's shocking. The birth rate has fallen off 80% in Australia, Tim. 80%. Women are having miscarriages left and right when instead of carrying the baby's full term now, they're having miscarriages. All high rates of it. And then they want war. That's one of their ways also they've written about by reducing the population is through war. And famine. So right now we've got all that going on. They're talking about, Russia's talking about nuclear war. United States is talking about it. Biden says, I'm not afraid of nuclear war. He's insane. That these people are absolutely insane. Then that war has damaged the food, the Ukraine and Russia are so important in producing food for a big part of the world, it's greatly inhibited it where there is famines going to be probably pretty soon now, as the food is the world's running out of food supplies. Europe, they're talking about food shortage. So we got famine building up, war building up, the shot that the millions upon millions of people have taken. One of the side effects of it is sterilization for the man and the woman. So, Tim, it's their agenda is full speed ahead now. This isn't something like, well, I read about the New World Order, and they're talking about population control, you know, and it's probably 10, it's way off in the future. No. Their agenda is in place right now as I'm speaking.
Yep. And on that note, I'll just say, dear listener, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And on that note, John, would you now comment some on the LGBTQ agenda and how that relates to the depopulation agenda as well?
Well, yes. I mean, that was anything that hinders reproduction that they promote. So now they're trying to turn little girls into boys and little boys into girls, even in kindergarten. They're trying – abortion is part of their agenda. They've done everything they can to have as much babies aborted as possible. They're after affecting the – you know, making women sterile by they can't have babies by trying to turn them into boys. I mean, every way we look, they're doing this, Tim. Every angle you could conceive of, they're doing it. So there's no holds barred now. Their agenda is out in the open. They're promoting the homosexual agenda, trying to turn youngsters into homosexuals and lesbians so they will not reproduce. That's one of their agendas.
Yep. And Romans chapter 1 declares, starting in verse 16 down through verse 21, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, Brother John, if you would comment now some on what your take is on communism and the future of communism in relation to Bible prophecy before I comment on what I was talking to you about earlier.
Sure. When I look at communism, it's not going to last, Tim. Now, when I grew up, I'm older than you, so you don't remember this, but communist Russia was the, and East Europe, the communist bloc, was this monolith. And Khrushchev came here, the president of Russia, and he said, "We're going to destroy you." And he just ranted and raved. So we grew up, my generation grew up with this communist as this big monolith monster that we needed NATO. And we did need it at that time. I'm not putting that down. but I couldn't dream of communism in Russia. It never entered my mind, just dissipating and dying and ending. But it died of its own weight. Communism cannot take just a tremendous, like, internal force to hold it together. It's self-destructive in the way it's psychologically, the way it treats the people, how it suppresses wages and everybody's equal. Well, not all equal. God's given us different talents and blessings. And so communism just literally collapsed of its own structure. And it disappeared. East Europe, Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, East Germany, Hungary. It's just, that was unthinkable, Tim, when I was a kid growing up. So when I look at scriptures, and I mentioned earlier, the sin, the religion of the end times, the tribulation period, will be classic paganism. And China does not fit that. China suppresses, really, communism suppresses all religion. So I see China falling like Russia did. I see communism falling like Russia did, and that void created by the collapse of communism in these nations, is going to be filled by religion. And we know from the Bible, the religion is going to be paganism. So the collapse of Chinese communism is going to be filled by a religion. And the religion is, it's going to end up, now I don't know directly, but it's going to end up fulfilling the book of Revelation. And Isaiah chapter 2 talks about the same thing as Revelation talks about. Men are going to be classic pagans. It's going to return back to the paganism of the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans and the Babylonians and all those religions. That's my take on it, Tim.
Have you ever heard much on what the state is with communism in, like, Cuba and Venezuela lately?
No. It's just oppressive. I know that. They have to use oppressive force to keep in power.
That was one of those. You don't know if there's been any more liberty in either one of those places? You haven't heard?
No, I haven't, Tim. No.
Okay.
Is there more liberty now than there was?
Not that I'm aware of, no. But
well, I can tell you this that I know about China. The Pope, there, the current Pope. We had a discussion earlier about this. The current Pope, who was a Jesuit, he sold out the Catholic Church to the communists, and the Catholic Church in China has to be a part of the official church, like under the Chinese communists. And there are a whole bunch of Catholics, priests there and believers in China that are not going to go along with it or didn't go along with it because it had to do with, like, kind of blocking and hindering traditional Catholicism. But the Pope sold them out to the Chinese Communist Party. That I know for sure. That happened probably about, I'm going to say, 3 years ago. There was a big furor about it, but he did sell out the Catholic Church to the Chinese Communists.
Okay. Can't say I'm surprised at all about that.
But on the other hand, Tim, the communism in Russia and East Europe fell when, Pope... the Polish Pope John, he collaborated with President Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, and they worked together in every way possible to break the back of communist Russia, and that their working together is what broke communism. And do you remember like that man's name? Boy, my memory with names now. Lenz Valega. He was a Polish leader of the unions in Poland, and the unions all rose up in Poland, and the Pope was behind it, the U.S. was behind it, and that the unions there really broke the power of communism in Poland, and it was like a domino effect. So, and we have one Pope worked with the United States to break communism in Russia and East Europe, and then we have another Pope that's working with the Chinese communists to suppress religion.
Yep.
So, on that note, dear listener, I would read Romans 1:22 down through verse 32. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, changed the truth of God to a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Even as they did not like to obtain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despite proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them, to do them. And on that note, John, as we slowly begin to wind down here in this edition of the Word of the King, I would ask you to go ahead and give your own presentation of the gospel to the listeners now who have yet to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, Tim, we covered some heavy-duty stuff today. I mean, really heavy-duty stuff. And in my opinion, this is Bible prophecy that's no longer prophecy. It's kind of like working its way out before our very eyes. And so years ago, I would preach and I would say, this is what the Bible says is going to happen. And it couldn't happen. I'll just pick a time out. We'll say 20 years ago, it couldn't happen. But I would preach on what's going to happen. Well, exactly as I preached on is unfolding right now before our very eyes. And there is an end to this, folks. This isn't going to go on forever and ever and ever. And the Bible tells us, the very almost next to the last verse in the Bible says, he which testifieth of these things saith, I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So the end result of what we're seeing is the second coming of Jesus Christ. It involves the nation of Israel. It involves a religious system, a political system, an economic system. It involves in high tech, like the 666 surveillance system. It involves huge wars that the Bible talks about, especially in the Middle East. So it's all coming together now before our very eyes. So the thing is, God's word is proving itself, right? It's right there in front of us, proving itself. And at the very end of all this prophecy is the second coming of Jesus Christ. All that do not believe in him who are alive when he comes will perish. Those that are alive are going to go into what the Bible calls his kingdom reign. It's called his millennial reign. Millennial means a thousand-year reign. So when he comes, or right now, if he was to come tomorrow, which he's not, but if he would, like the Bible says, he's coming to Jerusalem, where would you be? Would you be embracing him as your Savior and Lord? Or would you be terrified of him because you face eternal judgment and damnation? You're able, folks, who's ever listening to me now, you're able to see literalness right in front of you, literal proof of the Bible and what the Bible says right now through prophecy. So the gospel has not changed. And the gospel is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whoever is listening to me, God's love is like hovering on you, that he gave his only begotten son. That's proof. God sending Jesus Christ is proof he loves you. And he sent Jesus because we are bound in sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual separation from God for eternity. But Jesus was sinless. On the cross, he died and paid the penalty for our sin. That's why the cross is so important. And when he died for our sin, if we believe in him, because the Bible then goes on to say, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So our sin is placed on him, and his righteousness is placed in us, and God accepts that. Our righteousness, it comes from Jesus Christ, and we now have eternal life with God, as our Bible calls him, our Abba Father. We can be in heaven for eternity because of what Jesus did on the cross. And before we can get to that, about believing that repentance is needed, where we turn from a life without Christ and sin to a life with him and his word, it requires believing Jesus rose bodily from the dead and he's returning. And with a life of repentance and following God through his word, you will have assurance of eternal life. You will not see what the Bible calls damnation and the lake of fire. You will have eternity in what the Bible describes and calls the New Jerusalem. So, Tim, it is a clear, absolute clear black and white message now, where it's not something way off into the future. It's on us right now. God wants everybody to be in heaven with him. But only, God's love is on everyone, but it can only be appropriated, that love, by confessing Jesus Christ, repentance and confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's my gospel message, Tim, for the hour now we live in.
Brother John, I do have one quick question for you.
Yes.
And a comment. First off, I did send you some emails about our website, but the question is, back in the 90s, and then from then on, they started using like the Home Again chip, the Avid chip, et cetera, for identifying like important like animals, like guide dogs, very expensive like racehorses, et cetera. Do you think that was a test bed for later doing the identity chips for men in the 666, would you say that was a test bed?
Absolutely, because they use it on cattle. And you're right, they use it on many animals, and they perfected it. They were able to perfect it, and they use them for identification. Like, let's say your dog ran off. You could that chip could be picked up, and you could be identified. So yeah, and then if the dog was astray, I mean it strayed off and it was found, they had a central location you call into with the chip number, and then the owner was identified. So, yes, it was a tiny way to start, but now it's much. I mean, it's the banking system is tied into it. Passports are tied into it. If you own stocks and bonds, everything you could think of, medical records are being tied into it. So it all started with that, Brother Ken. You're right, and it was back in the, like, I don't know exactly when, but it was, I know in the 90s they were using that to have your pet chipped, so if it's straight away, you could identify it.
Because the reason I learned about it was when I had three service dogs. They told me about the chips that were implanted in each of them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a way of, like if your dog runs off, you can have a link from that chip to your cell phone. And you have an app, and you turn the app on, and the app will tell you how the dog could be a quarter mile away, and you'll be able to identify where the dog is and go find it. Or someone can find the dog, let's say it runs further away, and then they call you and say your dog has been found.
Right. I thought myself that's what I've been thinking all along. But like I said, check your email. It's been a while since I sent it to you. There was information on our website that Tim asked me to send you. So,
all right. Do me a favor, please. Just send it again.
No problem.
And it may have went to spam, and I didn't pick it up in spam. So send
well,
it again, and you could put Tim's station for subject, and that'll I'll see that Tim's radio station. I'll see that if it's gone to spam.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, Tim.
Thanks again, Brother John. Thanks again.
Yeah, Tim, the gospel is so clear today. I mean, when we know the prophetic word, and we share the prophetic word with people. The literalness, the reality of Bible prophecy is like screaming right in our ears, and big
yes.
Red flashing lights are shining right in our eyes. It's happening. Here it is. And so if that's true, if Bible prophecy is true, which it is, how much more true is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen. And real quick, John, before we conclude, would you give them your information one more time for your website and your Luke 4 ministry?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, my website is usaprophecy.com, usaprophecy.com, and I have a direct link into my brochures. They're in the website, but my brochures are It's MCT. I got so many MCTs, I'm giving you my email. It's MCTbrochures.com, and that'll take you into my my brochures. And Tim, I've been sending you brochures many places throughout the world, but the brochures there are in PDF file. And you can download them and print them, or you can go to a printer if you wanted a lot of them printed. They're soul winning. They've gone out to millions throughout the world, and they've won an untold number of souls. So I hope you could use them. They're, okay. Thank you, Tim.
Certainly. Thanks for being on, John. God bless.
Okay. We're finished for now?
Yes, we're officially done.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
God bless you, Tim, and all your listeners. Thank you.
Yes. God bless you. Bye-bye. And finally, dear listener, conclude here Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 31. And we know that what things soever the law saith to them who are under the law, their mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him. Law of works? Nay, but by law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And again, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Till next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
All right, and we're going to play this invitation song, and then right after that we will go ahead and give you the donation information as Tim requested.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of fearing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but
of you who wish to help here at the Success Radio Network, remember, for you to listen, it is free, but for us, it does cost something, so we would appreciate a love gift from you, and there are several methods you can help us in getting these shows to stay on the air. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, sixisix@gmail.com. Enter the email address, sixisix@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixisix@gmail.com. Put in your subject line, donation information requested, and in the body of your email, just explain you're wishing to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need to pay to and in snail mail information for that check or money order. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. Now, if you're wishing to get a copy of this program or any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are several methods you can do to get a copy. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just click the podcast section of your smartphone or tablet. Go in there, into the search box, enter Six Eyes Radio, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O, click enter. When we pop up there, just click subscribe. If you have an Android or Apple device, you'll need to download the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, go into its search box, enter Six Eyes Radio, and then when we pop up there, just click subscribe, and you'll have us on your Android or Apple device. And if you wish to donate to Tim Groover and his Sow the Seed Ministries and the Word of the King, that is easily done. Go to our website at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S, for, F-O-R, the, T-H-E, blind, B-L-I-N-D, .org. Go down to where it says Sow the Seed Ministries, click that. Once you've done that, then you just go down that page to where it says Love Offerings, click it, and you'll be able to use our secure PayPal to use your credit card or your PayPal account on the secure PayPal button for Tim Groover. If you're wishing to send a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, just go to the same Holiness Bibles for the Blind website, go down the main home page to the bottom where it says Love Offerings, and you can use the secure PayPal button for Holiness Bibles for the Blind to use your credit card or your PayPal account on the secure PayPal button there. Or if you wish to send a check or money order, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you can send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you, and we at Holiness Bibles for the Blind and Sow the Seed Ministries thank you very, very much. And for Brother Six Eyes and all the group here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we say God bless you. Thank you very much. And we hope you'll join us for tomorrow for the Wednesday night Bible study as we get into a very unique topic, the Star of Bethlehem. And yes, you'll even find out about the December 25th date. What is so unique about it? So we hope to see you 7 p.m. Eastern here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless.